I'll be reading from Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Good morning. Great to see everybody on this beautiful Sunday morning. For those of you who are visiting, welcome. Those of us who are back from school, welcome. Good to see you. Some are gone to school overseas, so we've just got folks everywhere. We're an international group. There's a football game today, I understand. There'll be folks who will watch football today who hadn't watched a football game since February of last year. If Thanksgiving is not a good time to be a turkey, Super Bowl Sunday is not the good time to be a chicken. Because there are more wingless chicken after today. I believe more chicken wings are consumed today than maybe the rest of the year almost put together if you take slick pig out of the equation. But it's a big time. Many of us will watch a game. It's an excuse, a reason to get together with friends and celebrate. The holidays are kind of over and it's the middle of winter. And it's as good a reason as any to get together. But I want us to talk about that for a little bit. And talk about for a moment those athletes that will be participating today in the Super Bowl. Because that's a big deal. And lots of talent, but more than that, lots of work and dedication has gone into being in that game today. And it's the dream of lots and lots and lots of people. I mean, lots of little boys and maybe little girls have dreamed of catching a ball in the end zone at the Super Bowl or being a quarterback or making that sack in the last seconds of the ball game to win the game. And now there is a handful of individuals today that will get to live that dream. But man, think about all of the work that has gone in to getting where they are. Tremendous amount. I mean, lots of two-a-days in the heat of summer. Lots of missed family events to practice and to work out and to run and to lift weights and to do all those things. I'm tired just talking about it. Doesn't excite me at all. But the reason I share that is all of us understand that a tremendous amount of dedication and work has gone into it. And I've shared this with you before, but I never cease to be amazed at how that extra dedication and spark and attitude and commitment makes one great from being very good. There's just some extra effort, extra push, extra attitude that takes folks and makes them excellent at what they do. And not only on the athletic field, but really in almost every endeavor of life. There are those who excel because they commit themselves to it and they dedicate themselves to it. And I want to read what the Hebrew writer says this morning. How does that apply to us in being what God wants us to be? Now, as this begins, the passage we'll talk about, because we are surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses. Today, the Super Bowl is the single largest one-day sporting event of the year. There'll be more people watch this event than any other sporting event this year, one-day event, the Super Bowl. Now, many of us won't remember next week anything that happened. I'll be honest with you. I think the Patriots won last year. I think I watched it, and that's about all I remember about last year's Super Bowl. And this year, I don't even know who the teams are playing. It's Cam Newton against Peyton Manning. That's kind of the thing, isn't it? And I guess there's some other guys that are going to be out there playing ball. But that's what all the hype is about for this game. But let's read from Hebrews chapter 12. You remember Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Fame of Faith. Now let's look at Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's stop there for a minute, Mike. Those guys who win in the ladies who win in the Olympics, folks who are going to be in the Super Bowl, have dedicated themselves to practicing and building up their bodies and preparing for these games or activities that they are involved in. And so the Hebrew writer is saying to us, as we look at these folks of faith, these men and women of faith from the past, even those who have suffered great persecutions and death, even lists in Hebrews 11, those, some of them were cut in two, some of them were sawed in two. I mean, just think about that, the dedication that they had. And then the Hebrew writer encourages us, and something we should know, that we need to throw off everything that hinders us. Hinders us in running the race that God has set out before us. To dedicate ourselves to doing and being what God has called us to be. Not for that just to be an aside in our lives. Not for it to be just some part of our lives. But being what God wants us to be has to be the focus of our lives. I'm going to tell you, I think this is one of the hardest lessons for us as Christians. Not only hard to apply, but hard to hear. Hard to hear. Because we're all pretty good folks. There might be an exception or two, I'm not sure. I've still got a question about one or two of you, but most of you I'm pretty good with. But we're pretty good folks. We're pretty good moral folks. We're really trying to do what God would have us to do. But if we are honest with ourselves, all of us, myself included, would I say, have I really thrown off the things that slow me down, that weigh me down, that draw my attention aside? Have I really dedicated myself to being what God wants me to be? Am I doing that with all of the energy that I have? Now, let's understand. Reading through the scriptures and what the Bible says, does that mean that all of us should be in this building all day, every day? No. Does it mean all of us should be elders and preachers and Sunday school teachers? No. That's not what we're all called to. Does it mean that we shouldn't be involved in the secular world at all, in our occupations? No. Because great men and women of faith have made a difference in their community. When I think about Daniel excels as a man of God, not only because he's a man of prayer, not only because he's a man of faith, but also because he's a man who does his occupation with great integrity and ability. Wouldn't it be great if the folks who were looking to find fault with you couldn't? And that's what it says about Daniel. They were looking, as Daniel was going to get a promotion and they didn't like it, to find out in the way he performed his job, the way he served the kingdom, they wanted to find fault with him. And they couldn't, because he was capable and he was dedicated and he was committed and he did great work. I try to do a good job, but it's not faultless. It's not faultless. But what I'm saying with that is, being all God has called us to be doesn't mean that everything that we do is just religious. Now, let's be careful with that and explain that. But it is saying that in every aspect of our lives, that we're seeking God's will, and that we're living lives in such a way that others will see Christ living in us, and God is glorified. That we're lifting burdens where they can be found, where we're teaching the gospel, where we have opportunity, where we're excelling in our lives to be what God has called us to, because He's empowered all of us differently. In fact, Paul would say, for some folks, it's just to lead quiet lives, to work with your hands, to take care of yourself, to support yourself, to not be a burden on others. That's what they were called to do. But are we seeking God's plan for our lives? And are we throwing off the things that hinder us to do it? And that's really a question. All of a sudden, because God has said, I'm a jealous God and you'll have no other gods before me. I must be first. Is God first in our lives? I'll ask us all a question. Again, this is kind of for us all to think about. But how often do we make excuses for not getting things done that we might need to be done? Maybe that's at work, maybe it's at home, maybe it's in being all God would have us to be. But when I was playing ball, and now that I have kids playing ball, and you're probably involved in that, and just, that's kind of the metaphor we're using today. But how acceptable was it to miss practice? Or a ball game? Or come in at a quarter, at the end of the first quarter, and say, Coach, sorry, a little tied up, but here I am. I'm ready to play. How well does that go over? Or, Coach, I cannot make practice this week. I got lots of things going on, but I'll be at the game Friday night. I'm good to go. Now, we laugh at that. But how many times in our lives is that the way we treat God? God, I didn't get around to doing what I know you really wanted me to do. I didn't read the scripture. I didn't pray. I didn't go see somebody. I didn't help with this or whatever. Or maybe I just didn't do the best at work I should have done, and I know other folks knew it, but I just didn't get around to it. But I'm good. You know, it's really with that kind of discipline and commitment that we should be serving God. And that's exactly what the Hebrew writer is saying. Throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. If you're going to win, if you're going to be what God has called you and equips you to be, you have to run with intensity and commitment and throw off the other things. You have to be focused. Focused in being what God wants you to be. What God has called us to be. And again, I use the term what God has equipped us to be. Because God equips us to be what He would have us be. Let's read about this focus. Let us fix or focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Focus on Jesus, who did what God called Him to do in the midst of great adversity and difficulty, but Jesus focused on being what God had called Him to be. Was it pleasant for Jesus? No. Was it easy? No. Was Jesus given opportunities to move in another direction? Absolutely. You think you've been tempted? Now, Satan pulled out all the stops with Jesus. And the Scripture just records a part of that for us. But Jesus did what God had called Him to do. And the Hebrew writer tells us at least part of the reason why. And why was that? Do you remember what I just read? It's kind of a test. For the joy that was set out before Him. for the joy. Why in the world would you get out on a football field in July when it is 100 degrees and run and do push-ups and roll tires on the ground and hit each other? Why would anybody do that? It's a question I've asked myself all my life, and I'll be honest with you, I've never come up with a good answer for it. I was hoping somebody could help me this morning. Because the thrill of winning on Friday nights or Saturday afternoons or Sunday afternoons drives people to endure the practices and the hard work to be prepared for the thrill of victory. But you don't get to enjoy the thrill of victory without the work, right? And Jesus endured to the point of death and persecution and leaving the glory of heaven because he knew the joy that God had before him, that it would all be worth it. It would all be worth it. I bet you've had the same regret at times in your life that I've had. When at the end of something, you were about that far from really doing well and you fall a little short. And you say, you know, I wish I'd worked just a little harder when I had the chance because I was close. I just didn't do what it took to get there. I see smiles and nods. Some of you are denying it, and that's okay. But I just didn't do what it takes. Hebrew writers encourage us, throw off the things that hinder us. Don't get to the end and say, I wish I'd run the race with all that I had in me. I wish I hadn't let these other things derail me and slow me down and weigh me down. I wish I had been dedicated because God has given us the very best. We're going to look at that in just a moment from Romans. But he asked that we dedicate ourselves in service to him for the joy that awaits us. I hope that you believe in heaven. I hope that you believe in the time when Jesus is going to return and that the dead are going to be raised from the dead, that there is going to be a resurrection of our bodies. And if we're still alive when that occurs, we'll be changed and meet Jesus in the air, but things will forever be changed. Forever be changed. And we will be forever with the Lord and the former things that we all struggle with. Pain and death and sickness and sorrow will have all passed away. We won't deal with that anymore. All those problems will be gone. The curse will be lifted. All of that will be gone. What a joy that will be. I mean, what a great day. Man, winning the Super Bowl, if you're a ball player, has to be a great, great time. They're going to be excited tonight. Especially those who win. And they will have worked hard and will deserve. But man, it is nothing compared to beyond time itself. Being in the presence of a powerful, benevolent, loving God who has prepared a place especially for us to meet absolutely every need and desire that we have. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, everything. And for that joy, we ought to run hard. We ought to run hard. Focus on what is important and run hard to win. Because when we win, it is all worth it. Now, is the Hebrew writer saying that our running hard this course, finishing the race, is going to earn us the victory? Because that's important. It's an important question. It's not what the Bible teaches us. However, and we're going to look at Romans, we're going to find out, and again, we've read this, how do we become conquerors or victors? It's through Christ Jesus, right? It is Jesus who gives us that opportunity. None of us are fast enough, or strong enough, or smart enough, or in good enough shape spiritually to earn the victory. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and we need to understand that. But we can all be victorious. We can all win the prize. And that is through Christ. Let's read again what was read for us. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's pretty good, isn't it? If the all-powerful God is for us, nothing else much matters. I think very often about Elisha and his servant. If you remember, Elisha's servant opens the doors and there are the Arameans all around him. They are surrounded. And he looks to Elisha and he says, "What in the world are we going to do? They got us." In the immortal words of "O brother, where art thou?" We are in a tight spot. And Elisha prays that that servant's eyes would be open. And he looks to the hills and he sees that the hills are full of celestial warriors and chariots. That those who were with them were much greater than those who were against them. And so what Paul is letting the Romans know in us as well, that if God is for us, even though we'll have opposition, it doesn't amount to anything. Because God is capable and caring for his people. And then Paul gives us a reminder of how great God's love is. And how great God's love and commitment is to us. If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How do we become champions? Conquerors, victors, through the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus, who gave his life for us. And through that, we have the victory. And as Paul would remind us, if God gave his Son, what will he withhold from us? Nothing. If God gave his Son, his desire is for us to be saved, for us to finish the course and win and be victors. Winning is fun. It just is. If you got a choice between winning and losing, winning is the better option. Always. But this is a race not where we can compete against each other, but it's where we finish a course that God has set out for us, and to not win is an option that's not bearable. And we need to just be honest about that. Consequences of not finishing the race are terrible. But God has sent his Son to pay the price for us that we might be conquerors, that we might win, that we might be victorious. But he calls us. He calls us to throw off the things that hinder us and inhibit us and weigh us down and slow us down and run with all the intensity and might that we have to finish the race. Set our eyes on the goal of being like Jesus, who for the joy that was set out before him, ran the race that God had set out for him. And now he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. The first fruits, the first among many brothers, the scripture will tell us. The first among many brothers. God, as he raised Christ, will raise us. I hope you have a fun day today. It'll be a fun day. Some of us are going to be split today. If I were a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, I would bet on one team, and I'm going to pull for the other team. So how's that? I'm going to pull for one. I'm going to pull for the underdog today. I think they're the underdog anyway in my mind, which I am the great football scholar, as you know. I have studied this intensely. But anyway, it'll be a good time. I'll enjoy, hopefully, watching the game today and being with friends and family, and that'll be fun. And somebody will win, and good for them, because they've all worked very hard. But in our lives, being what God had called us to be, we need to focus. We need to focus on following God and answering the call and being all God has called us to be. And that's different for all of us. He's equipped us. He's laid out the race. He sent His Son so that we might be victors. But He's called us to give Him the very best we have, because He gave us the very best He had. And He calls for us not to give Him part, not to hold back, but to, with commitment and focus, be about serving Him. Jesus died on a cross in a very painful way because He knew the glory God had in store. God raised Him from the dead that might be a promise of all of us who will be raised from the dead. If you're not a Christian today, if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and been washed in the waters of baptism, we'd encourage you to do that today. Because victory is only found in Jesus. It's the only place that victory is found. For those of us who are Christians, I hope that all of us will look at our lives and with a renewed joy and commitment and dedication, we'll be about being what God has called us to be. That we will have a greater focus on what God would have us to do. But maybe today you need to come in a public way, asking for the prayers of our shepherds, maybe as a confession of sin or an opportunity to rededicate. If you need to do that in any way that we can benefit, why don't you come and while we stand and sing.